The COVID-19 picture around parts of the world are showing signs of improvement, but not everywhere. With me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key global stories in the coming days is the BBC's Audrey Tinlin. And Audrey, of course, let's start with COVID. And at the end of last week, the World Health Organization said cases globally were nearly back to the highest level ever seen. But at the same time, this week, more countries are moving ahead with their vaccination plans. So what should we expect to see this week?
Yeah, the WHO says globally rates of the infection have nearly doubled over the past 2 months. So that's around the world, obviously a different picture in different countries. At the same time, you know, lots of them are going ahead well with their vaccination programs. Here in the UK, for example, a large part of the adult population is now vaccinated, as you are getting to in the US. But in other parts of the world, it is quite different, of course. In Africa, vaccination rates are still very low. Access to the vaccine at all is very low. One country, the Democratic Republic of Congo, is starting vaccinating this week. It has had AstraZeneca vaccine doses in Congo available for a few weeks, but it's held off on using them because it wanted to see what the guidance was over these very rare instances of blood clots associated with AstraZeneca. But now the government's going ahead. It's got 1.7 million AstraZeneca shots to give out, and it's trying to persuade its people to come forward and take them. There has been some vaccine hesitancy there.
And Audrey, in many other countries, there's also concern about how to get enough vaccines. Think about places like India and some countries in Europe. Where are they planning to get more doses?
Yeah, India is suffering really badly with a renewed surge of COVID cases, and particularly in the capital, Delhi. It has donated and sold tens of millions of vaccine doses abroad, but now it needs them at home. So it's able to ramp up production domestically. India, of course, is actually the world's biggest vaccine production company, is based in India. So they are able to ramp up their own production over time, which is what they're going to do. And that's been a case of money. So more money has been given to the large vaccine producers to do that. And several countries here in Europe want to get hold of vaccines when a country, for example, Denmark, has stopped giving out AstraZeneca vaccines for the moment. So neighbouring countries have stepped up and said, well, we'd like to have those vaccines. The Czech Republic asked for the vaccines. Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania have also done that. So there's a deal of sharing to be done within the EU countries as well. And negotiations are going on over that.
Interesting. All right, Audrey, let's move to Russia now. There's likely to be quite a lot of news coming out of that country this week. President Vladimir Putin, for one, is scheduled to give his annual State of the Nation address. What might we expect to see in this address?
Well, this address is normally geared very much towards the domestic audience at home, and analysts are saying it's very likely that will be the case again this time around. Of course, it comes at a time when President Putin is under a whole load of international pressure. We saw those sanctions which the US wants to take against Russia, and we've seen diplomatic spats, a lot of those over the fate of the Russian dissident Alexei Navalny. So what's expected in this State of the Nation address is perhaps something for Russian citizens to make their lives easier, analysts say. Because one of the things that Russians have been disturbed about over the last few months and year is changes to their pensions, for example, which they haven't been happy with. Domestically, President Putin has seen his approval ratings go down. In March, there was a survey done inside Russia by the Carnegie Moscow Center, and they found a 63% approval rating. Now, that sounds pretty high, but it's a far cry from the 88 to 89% he was looking at. So expect it to be something for his supporters there. And of course, the world will be watching to see whether there are any signs of how President Putin is going to appear towards the protesters. Alexei Navalny's supporters have asked the protesters to come back out on the streets on the very day when that speech is due to take place. So the world is really watching what might happen on Wednesday of this week.
And that's all happening while there's also a lot of concern about tens of thousands of Russian troops building up near the borders with Ukraine. What's happening there as the week kicks off?
Well, there's a lot of diplomatic action, most of it behind the scenes. The European Union foreign ministers are discussing this today. That buildup of Russian troops around Ukraine, described by NATO as the biggest since 2014. And Ukraine said last week that Russia now has around 40,000 troops on the border with eastern Ukraine inside Russian territory and a further 42,000 near Crimea or in Crimea itself. So there are a lot of concerns over what's happening there. And of course, Joe Biden has expressed his concerns as well. He is still waiting to hear from Mr. Putin whether he is going to accept the call which America has made for a summit.
All right. So, Audrey, usually we talk to you about the biggest goings on around the world. But this morning, let's talk to you also about stuff going on outside of this world. There's a big international conference this week looking at how to clean up space. The European Space Agency is bringing together scientists, engineers, and policymakers to look at new ways of cleaning up space junk. What's the extent of the problem?
The problem is actually pretty huge. When I was having a look at this subject, I was really surprised to read there are 6,000 satellites currently in orbit around the Earth. Around half are no longer working, which you might expect to happen, apparently. They don't work all the time, and then they should fall back to Earth. But a lot of them are simply still there, or bits of them are there, and that's the problem. Agencies are currently tracking 28,000 space junk objects, and the European Space Agency is going to host this conference to discuss what to do about it. And it says nothing's off the table when it's looking at ways to bring this junk back down to Earth.
Interesting. All right, that is the BBC's Audrey Tinlin in London. As always, Audrey, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
You too. Thanks a lot.